welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, my lovely people. How is everybody doing today? Hope the answer is good enough, hanging in there, or like amazing, or maybe shitty, but I am here and I am doing it. Any of those answers is good. And anything in between. This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. As you can kind of see, I'm in a mood today. I'm in a good mood today. I'm in a playful mood today. Why am I in a playful mood today? You know, I think it's just because I'm excited about so much of the stuff that's going on to talk about this work and carry this message. And I'm really watching people move the needle. And, you know, this is the case. It never fails to excite me when I see new people getting it and waking up and changing their lives. And then I have, of course, some skeptics to deal with, and I talk to them and I back up and I give them space to come to their own conclusions. And then I watch them get it and do this work and change their lives. So a lot of exciting emails and things have kind of come through for me lately, one of which is a woman who is leaving the membership community that she's been in with us for 6 months. And the reason she's leaving is she's all freaking better. And, you know, the thing about being in our membership community, which you probably hear me talk about on air, is that people come in. They come in for a set of months or a year, however long they want, or maybe just 1 or 2 months. And they are part of the community and they do the work and they're on the Zooms with us. And maybe they join the 28-day challenge with members of the community. And then they're like all better. And it's just the best feeling, the best feeling. So you know who you are if you hear me talking about the fact that we just had that lovely exchange. And I bid everyone, you know, the best wishes when they come and when they go, because people don't need to do this work forever. This is not a life sentence. Now, of course, the work of changing oneself, the work of being present with our feelings and our emotions, well, that's a life sentence because being human is. But, you know, it's not like you're going to journal speak every day for the rest of your life. It's not that you're always going to struggle. You're going to be able to wear it loosely. You're going to be able to allow pain to come and to go and to flow in and out of you. And that's what's happening all the time. If you at home are interested in kickstarting your healing or being part of a community that really helps you stay accountable and get my personal help every single month and often every day on our online Facebook group, please go to thecureforchronicpain.com. Scroll down just a touch. You'll see the membership community. You can join and you can be part of this. It's just amazing. And of course, if you want to join me live in person, being together for a 5-day retreat at the Omega Institute, that is in full force. I'm watching the numbers come in. I'm so excited to meet you guys and to spend the week with you. That is at eomega.org, or go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and click on the retreats tab, and you can join us at Omega June 23rd through the 28th this coming summer. All right, my loves. So let's talk about why all these people are healing. Let's talk about why the work is so powerful in the community and in Omega and people taking my courses and being in my Instagram community. And those of you just listening to this podcast, it's so powerful because of your openness, your awareness, your growth through willingness, and then your stories. And so today I'm going to highlight a speak pipe by Susie. For those of you who don't know what SpeakPipe is, that is a platform that Lisa and I signed up for that allows you to send us your audio messages, ask us your questions, tell us about your progress. We get far too many SpeakPipes to highlight them all on this podcast. However, once in a while, we get one that we really want to make a podcast around. And today I am going to use one by Susie from the UK. Susie is in a really great pivotal point in her recovery where her chronic pain and symptoms have morphed into anxiety. And that is such a common trajectory for this work that I wanted to take a moment to highlight it. We talk about it a lot. There's really no new information on this podcast that you haven't heard before, because everything is ubiquitous. Every human being is the same in many, many key ways. And this TMS recovery journey is often the same. It just looks different, you know, for her and for him and for them. But in the end, it's actually really similar. And so often I get the question, help me understand how my pain that was so physical and so palpable and so coming through different areas of my body, like headaches or like stomach aches or like back pain or knee pain or whatever, you know, something really physical. How is it now that that is gone, essentially? And now I have this terrible anxiety, and it's just so normal and so natural. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. You know, Susie had terrible psoriasis, which is an autoimmune disease that many people suffer from, and she had terrible migraines, and both of them are resolved. And that is something that I really need you guys to hear. So often people come to me with the symptoms of autoimmune disease and they say, but autoimmune diseases are not technically TMS. And the reason why they say that and why I've heard that from many people doing this work is because once you're diagnosed with something and you have test results that this is something that your body has experienced, I'm not here to say that this TMS work can resolve those test results. Like, I don't know what blood work is evident for someone to have a diagnosis of lupus. But what I do know is that many people who have done this work have written to me and said, I have lupus. On paper, I have lupus. I've been diagnosed with lupus, but I don't have the symptoms of lupus anymore. Almost ever. I almost never have a flare of my lupus. That is what nervous system regulation does for you. That is what this work does for you. So in Susie's case, she has psoriasis. Obviously, she said she used to have the physical symptoms of psoriasis all over her skin. And now she's done this work and she doesn't have psoriasis. She says she has clear, beautiful skin. That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, the human body and the human brain are so miraculous and so complex that I myself do not say that I understand every working of it. No scientist does. But what I do understand that when our nervous systems are in sustained fight or flight, and we are in chronic stress, and when our emotional reservoirs continue to dump over the edge and keep us in this state, there are many flares and symptoms and manifestations of pain and anxiety and panic and illness that are present. And when we do this work to regulate our nervous systems, they go away. It's just a fact. It's an anecdotal fact, and it's a fact that has happened thousands of times in my experience of being with you guys. So there it is. There it is. You'll always hear me say the same thing, which is the only question that matters, in my opinion, is how do you feel today? How do you feel today? And if how you feel needs improvement and how you feel is keeping you from the joy and presence of life, then this work is a very powerful tool. So anyway, I'm going to play you Susie's speak pipe, and then we are going to chat about it on the other side, about anxiety and how it morphs.
Hi Nicole, my name's Susie and I'm contacting you from the UK. I've been doing your work for about 7 months and it's been amazing. I had migraines for about 15 years and covered in psoriasis, and that is just so much better. I have soft skin now, I can show it, and I'm not crashed down by migraines every week. Although I do still get them, but they've definitely, I see them as part of my journey now. I can see them as the path that I need to go down, and that's been so helpful. I'm a primary school teacher, have always been, and I'm struggling at the moment because I have a lot of anxiety around work, not actually being at work, but preparation for work. I was brought up with no boundaries around work. Basically, we had to work until we were dead. Basically, that's the kind of basis of my mum's ethos, and so I'm programmed to just work. But I now know through all my work on self-compassion that that's not good for me, and I'm trying really hard to be kind to myself and not work so hard. But then that gets me into an anxiety loop where I can't stop thinking about work when I'm not working and trying to be good to myself. So I'm trying to get migraines my body's aching in various places. I do a lot of sport and I feel like I'm kind of injuring myself. And I journal and I do the inner child work and I cry and I cry and I don't seem to be able to tease it out how to get past this next this thing. It's like every weekend on a Sunday, at the end of every half term, at the end of the holiday, I just get so tangled up in not working, but then getting anxious because I'm not working, but then feeling like I'm not being compassionate to myself if I do do some work, and I'm kind of looking at the anxiety and trying not to bend towards it. And yeah, I know I'm not descending. I'm looking directly at the path, but I can't seem to find how to get. There's like a chasm in the way. And although I'm starting to feel better now because today is the day when I go back to work, I feel calmer again, but I want to start to try to not feel so anxious in that, like I have been for the last kind of 5 or 6 days before going back to work after Christmas. I'd really like to, and I'm trying to wear it loosely, and I am doing really well at that. And I am looking at things in my life really clearly. My daughter's just been diagnosed autistic, and that's been an incredible hard journey, and it's a lot to process. So anyway, there we are. Thank you so much for the incredible work that you do and that you encourage us all to do. And I've encouraged so many people to do this work because it's just amazing. The joy of life. It feels like Christmas every day sometimes. It's amazing. So thank you.
Okay, let's talk about lovely Susie. First of all, Susie, sending you so much love and so much connection. So thrilled that essentially the migraines and the psoriasis and other physical symptoms that flow through you are no big deal. They do not cause fear. They are not chronic. That is the goal. But now you're anxious. And you're anxious as attached to things that are very natural, the way you were raised, the priorities that you were exposed to and that you took on as your own. The inner child work that is a lifelong process. It might not be a life sentence. You don't have to do it every day of your life, but certainly a lifelong evolution of understanding why the inner child work matters. We'll touch on that a moment. And the fact that that anxiety does so often in this process replace the physical manifestations of pain as it's rolling through your body, as it's moving out. And so, the first thing I wanted to say is we have to normalize, 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 normalize all the time. Because if we don't normalize something, so often we get stuck in that chasm of fear where we are just stuck with the overthinking and pre-grieving and worry that something about us isn't normal. And it would be very natural for someone like Susie in her position to be like, oh my God, fine. I'm glad I don't have the migraines and the psoriasis and the other chronic manifestations, but I don't want to be anxious all the time. And then the fear and the meaning attached to that could cause the anxiety to get greater and to perpetuate itself for a longer period. So the first thing we always need to do is just normalize. This is normal. It is normal when your pain starts to dissipate that anxiety can kick up. It is simply another way that the brain and the nervous system are checking to see if you need protection. It's kind of like the struggle imperative that I often talk about, where if we are not mindful and if we are not cognizant of the fact that the human brain seeks a struggle, because the human brain is always looking for ways to keep us alive. And so it seeks a struggle because a struggle feels safer. A struggle feels like we are in charge of ourselves, that we are paying attention to what's necessary, that we are in action, in control. If we have a struggle and we're dealing with it, we are perceived as safer. Why? Because if you're just happy and at peace, that is not actually the safest space for the nervous system. We can teach it that it is. But it takes intention, because without teaching it that being happy and safe and without struggle is okay, is a place to be, that is what place we want to occupy, the human brain seeks out, first of all, it seeks out familiarity. And we so often have lived for years in struggle. And it also seeks out places where we might need to pay attention in order to survive. And so it offers a struggle. So when I talk about the struggle imperative, I talk about the fact that, let's say your son is going through some huge problem and you are majorly dealing with it. And let's say it resolves. Let's say he really gets his act together and he's happy and he's like, "Mom, no, don't worry about me. I'm doing great." It is so often that the moment that happens, a thought might pop into your mind, which is like, "I should really lose 10 pounds." Now, we both know that losing 10 pounds and your son's struggle are not actually related, but they are, because in the world of the struggle imperative, they are related because they are holding space for yet the next thing for you to deal with, fix, perseverate on, ruminate, worry about. And we don't want to live like that. That is safe in the unsafest way, and we don't want to live like that. So, in the same sense that the struggle imperative, without awareness and without being willing to pause and look at why we do things and why we think about things, it will perpetually continue in our lives. Same with the anxiety that can replace a physical manifestation of pain. Because unless we are so awake and aware, we can just decide, "Oh, well, now I have an anxiety disorder, and now I'm going to follow that rabbit hole and, follow down that rabbit hole and whatever." And like, let's normalize it that it's just something that happens a lot, which is, and it's happened to me a lot, which is that when physical symptoms that have been holding that space, that imperative, whether it's the symptom imperative or the struggle imperative, they've been holding space for your safe in the unsafest way posture, because you're doing things and you're going to doctor's appointments and you're following up. When that no longer is a problem, the anxiety can come rushing in, because nature abhors a vacuum, and we can be cognizant of what we fill that vacuum with, but if we're not, anxiety can come in. So Susie, totally normal, totally natural. There is no judgment for it, and hallelujah, because just like when the back pain abates and the stomach aches start, the regular symptom imperative dance, when anxiety comes in, it's good news. It means that you've got it on the run. It means that you're getting an invitation to do the work in a pointed fashion, in a way that's going to be helpful to you. Great. So let's talk a little bit about the way Susie's anxiety is manifesting. The first is that it's totally understandable, because Susie was raised to believe that you have to be busy in order to be of value or to be good. And that is something a message a lot of us receive, whether it is consciously, unconsciously, whether it is intentional or unintentional. Western society often, and Eastern society too, can offer us that message, which is you are highly valued if you are constantly achieving, working, producing. And so that's something that can come up. And I notice for Susie, it has a lot to do with anticipatory anxiety, anxiety that is connected to preparing. So it's not exactly anxiety in the moment. It's anxiety of, have you dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's? And that is kind of hard to live with. So for Susie, she is having that invitation, which is, are you safer if you are worrying? Are you safer if you are thinking about this? Is it going to motivate you to do what you need to do? Meaning, if you're not anxious, might you just be a lazy slob? And these are just things I've heard over and over in the years of doing private practice, in the years of working with you guys around the world, and in the years of myself living as a human being in my own skin, which is these questions come up and I have to answer them. And I have to answer them with a lot of pause and a lot of mindfulness, because otherwise I can also be reflexive in the way I talk to myself. I can also say, "Yeah, man, if you are not panicked about this, why would you even get it done?" And of course, that is not true. I can make goals for myself and I can get things done, and I can intentionally pause and rest and relax and do something fun and watch TV. I can do it all. I can live a balanced life, but it takes a lot of thoughtfulness for those of us who are naturally inclined to ride ourselves really hard, or to push ourselves, or to listen to the messages from the past, from parents and teachers and whomever, coaches. So, the answer to this question is multifaceted. The first answer is you're normal. The second answer is you're doing it. You're already doing it. Like, you are already doing it. You're doing the journal speak. You're working on your recovery. You've eliminated your migraines and your symptoms of your autoimmune disease. Like, this is amazing stuff. Take a moment to celebrate. This is really powerful recovery. Okay. So since you're already doing it, Really, the next step is to know how normal this anxiety is and to just treat the anxiety as if it was a migraine. Treat these ruminating thoughts as if they were back pain, because they're no different. They are the place right now in the struggle imperative and the symptom imperative that's rising to your consciousness that is holding space for this overflowing emotional reservoir and the fear and meaning attached to a symptom. So you take a deep breath and you pause and you do your self-care and you get to your journal speak, as often as you can. I don't think journal speak has to be done every single day once you have overcome your initial chronic condition that brings you into this work. At the beginning, it is so super important to put that ladle in the reservoir and dump it out every day. The reason is because it needs to stop reaching maximum density and spilling over and giving you symptoms. You need your body to be your proof. But where Susie lives, her body has been her proof. So I don't want ever it to be that like getting to your journal speak becomes another panic in your life. So for Susie, a few days a week, let's say 3 or 4, make sure to get to that journal speak and just bring a message of calm and safety to your nervous system. I am having this anxiety. It is not me. It is an experience I am having. So I am the sky, to borrow from this Buddhist concept. I am the sky, and my anxiety is the weather. I don't have to identify with it and be enmeshed with it. I can say, I am having experience of human anxiety. That's another great tool. I use this with myself all the time because I run very anxious. You might be able to tell from my whole personality. I'm intense and I'm passionate, and it makes, it all is intertwined with anxiety. And so when I am running anxious, instead of being an anxious person and identifying as such, I can say, ah, I see. I'm having the experience of anxiety. I am having an experience of anxious feelings. I remember when I was little, my mom used to say, it's so much less insulting to say you're acting like an asshole than you're an asshole. Such a memory, mom, that I have, which is you like if I called someone an asshole, she would say, yeah, well, it's not helpful in an argument, certainly, to say you're such an asshole. You could say you're acting like an asshole right now because that's how you feel. And so it's very similar with this experience of anxiety. You are not anxious. You are having the experience of human anxiety. So you can just pause. You can get like a little space between yourself and your anxiety and say, okay, I see this is an anxious moment. Well, what can I do for myself in an anxious moment to not be so anxious? One thing that's really helpful that gets a really cheesy rap, but I get why it gets a cheesy rap, but I think it's helpful if you look at it correctly, is the concept of self-talk. So actually in our community Zoom on Saturday, I had Monica come in, Monica Leah, who is a practitioner in somatic experiencing and allowing us to be in our bodies and to track where we are somatizing. And she was talking about this self-talk. And it's really actually very helpful to think about how we talk to ourselves and how we can change the way we talk to ourselves. So one of the ways we can talk to ourselves helpfully with anxiety is simply to remind ourselves that we are actually safe. Because when we're having an anxiety experience, so often we are unconsciously not in this moment. We are in a moment in the past. We are in a moment that has caused us tremendous anxiety, maybe growing up, or we're in a moment of future where we are pre-grieving, catastrophizing, or future casting into something that may or may not be. So to just ground ourselves in the moment. The other day I did this. I was having a lot of anxiety in the middle of the night and I wanted to fall back to sleep. And I just said to myself, you're actually safe right now. Right now, feel the bed, feel the pillow, feel the warmth. Put your hand on your heart or on your arm or on your stomach, whatever. Ground yourself with your own body and say, I'm safe right now. Actually, that is really helpful. I used to think it was cheesy, kind of like affirmations, I am good, I am worth it, or whatever. But it actually isn't. Like, if you really use it in the moment and you're authentic and genuine with yourself, it's actually not cheesy. It's really impactful. Like when I was in bed the other night and I said this to myself, you are safe. You're here. You're here. You're safe. You're not tomorrow. You're not in tomorrow where that anxious thing might be happening. Or you're not in yesterday where this is the way you used to handle everything because you just thought of yourself as a person with anxiety disorder. Like you're here, right here in this bed. Dark, it's quiet, it's okay. And I literally fell asleep within 5 minutes, and that is so helpful. So wherever you are, Susie, or anybody else where this applies to you, to just pause when you're having these anxious moments and say, hey, listen, let's take a little inventory. Let's take stock. I'm safe, I'm not in danger. The work will get done. I can also put limits on myself and not work myself to death. So I can make a list of things that need to get done that I really want to get done. And then I can go watch a little TV or unwind or take a walk or spend time with the loved one. Like, it's okay. I'm safe right now. This kind of self-talk, this kind of energetic shift that you can hear in my voice is integral in showing your nervous system and your brain that the struggle imperative is not necessary. That you can live in rest and repair. You do not have to be in fight or flight. It doesn't make you more worthy. It doesn't make you more productive necessarily. It doesn't make you a better person. It doesn't make your dad or your mom like you better, even though you thought it did when you were a kid. And these kind of things. And even if it does, by the way, that's on them. That is not your problem, the way other people feel about you. That is their problem. The only thing that is your concern is how you feel about yourself and how you treat yourself and how you act in the world based on your best thinking. And your next right considered action. That is your responsibility. The way other people feel about you is their business and it's their stuff. Guys, almost nothing is personal. Jesus, it's so astounding when you figure that out and life changing. Almost nothing is personal. People, the way they treat you, the way they talk to you, the way they talk about you, the energy you receive, whether they're in a bad mood or not, that you might attribute to yourself, it's almost never about you, unless, of course, you've done something really egregious and you have to apologize. And that's fair. Doesn't make you a bad person. Just apologize. Own your stuff. So healing. So, anyway, it's just about perspective and knowing that you're normal. So, let's recap. Let's recap. First thing to remember, this is normal. Pain moving into anxiety, back to pain, moving around, morphing, symptom imperative, struggle imperative, normal. If these concepts are new to you, just type into your Google search Nicole Sachs symptom imperative. Lisa and I made an amazing podcast for the summer series a couple se summers ago about this that people rave about. It's like one of the best episodes of all time. Go and listen to that, the summer series on symptom imperative. These are helpful tools to keep you in the work, marinating in the work. Know it's normal. Secondly, do the work. Do the work. Show up for your journal speak. Show up for yourself. Do the meditation, even when you don't want to. Fight your resistance. Know that resistance is just another form of TMS, your brain and your nervous system whispering in your ear, don't do this. You have better things to do. You're too tired. It won't work for you. All those messages of resistance are just another way to keep you from your repressed emotional world, the thing that your nervous system deems a threat to your life. It is not a threat to your life. Once you feel your feelings safely, you will be moving through this process. Your chronic pain will melt away. It's incredible. It happens over and again. Second thing, so do the work. Third thing. The only message that the nervous system needs to receive ever, ever, ever from you, if you are actually not in danger and don't need your life saved, is a message of safety. So, hand to heart. Might seem a little weird at first, just do it. I'm doing it right now. It so grounds you. Push your hand into your heart, into your stomach, on either side of your face. You are safe. You are here right now. You're not a little kid anymore. And you're not in next week with what might or might not happen. You're here. You're okay. We're okay right here. Self-talk, reminders, energy, doing the next right considered action, taking an inventory, making a plan so you don't get stuck in your anxious thinking. I have these three things to do today. You know, I once worked with a woman who did NLP, neuro-linguistic processing, I believe it stands for. And she said it's really helpful, like the messages we send ourselves. You know, like she gave me the example where you could wake up in the morning and be like, oh my God, I have a million things to do today. That's really stressful. And she said, but if you wake up in the morning and you make a list and you actually have six things to do today, instead of saying, oh my God, I have a million things to do today, you could say, oh my God, I'm a little stressed out. I have six things to do today. And then you write them down. And as you do them, you check them off. And this is how we send a message of safety to the nervous system. There's so many tools out there. And so many of these tools we are bringing with us to Omega, which is another thing that's exciting me because I'm really being mindful with Lisa and we're talking and we're planning, you know, to just hand you so many of these tools so that you walk away from that week forever changed, which is basically what every single person says about that week, which is just an amazing thing. So yeah, these are this is the way. This is the way to deal with it. And you know, as I sit here and talk to you today, I never have much a plan of what I'm going to say. I mean, I know the things I need to say, and they kind of exist in the cloud above my head, and I pull them down and I say them to you. And what I want to say about today as I close this podcast is I actually really think this is it. These are the tools. And if you use them calmly, without urgency to get better, without watching the clock, Susie, your anxiety will dissipate. You will just be a regular human person who feels pain sometimes and feels anxiety sometimes. And like, okay, here we are. We are here to love big and to feel big and to celebrate big. And we're also here to suffer big and hurt big and have our hearts broken. And that's the whole thing. And you don't get half. You have to live the whole thing. Because one thing allows you to have perspective on the other thing, and that's the way it goes. All right, my loves. As always, such a great pleasure to be with you every week. If you're enjoying this podcast, just hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It really helps other people find the podcast, and it's such a joy and a delight for me to read those reviews and to share them with others. And if you are interested in being with us, whether it be in community or at live at Omega, just go to thecureforchronicpain.com, scroll down on the homepage, see all our offerings, click on the resources and the retreats tab. So much to offer you there. All right, my loves, this is Nicole Sachs. You've been with me on the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. I'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.